Amen. We all need coaches in our life. So I'm going to ask Reed and Miss Tammy, if y'all come forward, and we're going to lay hands on Jack Smith, as the Bible says. And as the church is fasting and praying this morning, I ain't calling for a fast, but pray. Let's pray. I tell you what, Pastor Lewis, come stand with us too. You're a seasoned minister of the gospel too. Patsy, come on up here. Jack, come stand before these men and women of God. Miss Tammy, y'all come on in here. Let's get good, close, and comfortable. Now, we believe what the Bible says, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
And we believe that before Jack was formed in his blessed mom's womb, she's gone on. She's up there with Jesus right now. So I believe the heavens are open and she's seeing this moment in time.
Amen.
Who wouldn't want to see their son commissioned to do the work of the gospel?
Amen.
Even in heaven.
Amen.
So, Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that you said, as the church fasted and prayed, you separated Jack Smith today, Lord. We're doing it literally, Father God, what the Bible says. Lord, it's the call, it's the purpose that you put on his life, you put in his heart. And today, Lord, we're just agreeing as a church and as seasoned, as ministers of the gospel, Lord. You said, as they laid hands on, so Father, we're laying our hands on Jack Smith right now by faith. And we just thank you right now, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, for the anointing right now for Jack to go forth in the mighty power of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And to accomplish everything that God has put in your heart to do, Jack.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The road ain't going to be easy, but it will be a blessed road. And the power within you will go out from you, and it will clear the path for those that are out there asking about Jesus and asking about this God. You're going to be the man that's going to say, I know Jesus.
Yes.
I need to coach you. I need to teach you about this Lord that I know. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, by the laying on of hands, Lord, we just thank you that you accomplish this work through Jack, that you call upon all, we call upon all the finances and all the ministry of helps that he needs right now, Father God, to get the job done. That, Lord, this is a race that, Lord, you have run for Jack and finished it by your grace. And today we call it in place. And we thank you for that right now, Lord, for the wisdom, for the revelation, for the gifts of the Spirit that will flow from Jack into the lives of men and women and children. And, Lord, we just give you the praise. It's an honor today.
Yes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. It's done.
Amen.
Praise God, brother. Amen. Amen. God be the glory.
As you go, don't go in your strength. Go in his strength.
Yes.
He will give you the power. Mm-hmm. He will give you the strength, and the anointing is there.
Yes.
Rely on him and him alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
I know you do. Well, I am Pastor Jack. Most of us, most of y'all know what I've been called to do. For those who don't, I've been in the prison ministry for 3 years now. A little bit of background, I was in prison 20 years ago. Lord brought me out of addiction. If you ever see that on TV where addiction is a disease, I want to slap the TV. Addiction is a choice. I chose to be an alcoholic. I chose to be a crack addict. I chose a lot of wrong decisions. And only through that one night when the Lord came upon me. And when I say this, I say it with all sincerity. A lot of y'all have heard my testimony, but for those who don't, you ever been in your room at night? It's nice and dark. Hear yourself breathing. Hear your pulse. Well, this one night, I did $300 worth of crack cocaine. That should have killed me flat out. Never got high. I've been running from the Lord at that time for over 30 years. He said, I'll show you what you seek. This is the Holy Spirit came upon me. I knew what separation was. That's what Jesus cried about. Not the pain and all everything he took away from him. Because of sin, he was separated from the Father. Mm-hmm. I saw a separation. I don't know how long it lasted. I know it lasted too long for me. I cried out to Jesus. And he removed the addiction. I received it. But then I had to work it. That's what part of my ministry is, by faith. Recovery is by faith. They have AA programs in the county, and that's a good base foundation. AA is a faith-based foundation, but they stop it at that. They say it's the group. Now, that's what gets, it's not. I know only by faith I've been clean for 13 years. He took crack cocaine, alcoholism, and cigarettes at the same time, the top three. Now, was I, I was tempted. Still get tempted, but I can laugh at it now. But you know what? I got the other addictions. When someone says they don't have an addiction, well, there's one of their addictions right there. They don't know. By the American Psychiatric Council, there's 125 classified addictions. So if you think you got it, your home straight, no. But part of my ministry is to show in the prison system that there's hope in God. That by trust and having faith in Him. I tell them, you still got to do your time. Now, I did have a guy about 2 years ago, said he accepted Jesus. He was praying for God to open the doors for him. I said, well, you got to do your time. Well, he didn't open the doors. He cut this man's sentence by 8 months. He didn't make it to court, and they cut it 8 months. And, well, that's just a judicial system. No, that's God's hand. Right. Well, you gave him the microphone. Show you how God worked in my life. When I was in prison at Pascatank Correctional Institute, anybody know that lovely place? I hope not. Anybody know where Elizabeth City, North Carolina is? Northeast corner, North Carolina, 7.5 hours one way. Let's just say my mother only came once. I was there, and I was 40 years old, skinny white guy in prison. Not a good scene. I've been there 2.5 weeks, and King, the man who ran our unit, not the COs, this inmate named King, he ran it. He called me in the day room and came off the road squad. That's a chain gang now, y'all. Came in off the road squad, and he hollered out, Smith. Sure, King. Went in there, he said, you know VT? I'm like, no, I don't know VT. He said, no, VT. I'm glad y'all didn't catch that one. He said, VT? I said, I don't know no VT. He said, you all know Vernon Talbert? I said, yeah, I know Vernon Talbert. 1974, I think it was, Vernon Talbert killed Deputy Uri here in Cabarrus County. I grew up with Vernon in my neighborhood. He was not a pleasant man. He was a mean man. He got life for that. He picked up 300 years more when he was in prison. Now, it'd been 20 years since he was incarcerated. I hadn't seen him since I was a little kid. Word came down, Vernon was at Pascatank. He's locked up 23.5 hours a day. My given name is Henry Smith. Jack is a nickname my father gave me, and I just ran with it. But in prison, they knew me as Henry Smith. Vernon knew me as Jack Smith. Now, one, how did Vernon Talbert know I was in prison? He didn't. Vernon, only by the grace of God, got word, sent word down to this unit I was in, and said, no one shall touch him. How did Vernon know I was in there? He did not. I never talked to Vernon. The man passed away. And unfortunately, he's probably shaking Satan's hands right now. That's how mean he was. God used this man in my life. So when I tell this to these men in prison, if God can do that for me, He'll do it for anybody. Who am I?
Amen.
So that's part of the ministry. To stand up here, well, Robert wouldn't get to talk to you today, and Reed wouldn't get to eat dinner. So I'm going to cut it at that right there. I do appreciate all the prayers and support I get from y'all. For those who don't know it, this church sent myself, still sending Tammy and Reed through school at Life Christian University. Great place just for your own personal growth and whatever God called you to. I won't get into that part about me being called into the ministry, which I ran 3 times. Sounded like Peter to me. All right, that's it.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Here's a call, brother.
Yeah.
Life coach, Jack Smith. See, what he said is true. God will use who he has to use to get to you.
Amen.
If your heart is toward him. Amen. I mean, it's not that God doesn't love us, mess that we go through. And you have to watch the songs that you listen to. I mean, there's some good sounding songs. I was just listening to one this morning on my favorite radio station. But if you really listen to the lyrics and it says that, well, you know, God hasn't moved this mountain because there's a reason he hasn't moved the mountain. No, God never put the mountain there to begin with.
Amen.
You know, he's waiting on us to know truly who he is and get out of that valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
You either all walk through. A lot of people just put their tent and stay down there. Oh, always is me. God's got a purpose for this. No, and I found out, you know, I didn't study it out real hard, but just there is a real valley of the shadow of death in Israel. It's a canyon. And it says it gets so tiny and so thin that there's a certain place to where when the sun's at high noon, you can see. But after that, when the sun shifts, it's like darkness in this as you go through this valley as you're coming through. And that's where thieves and robbers would get down and actually, you know, steal from people because they can't see them. In the midday, all day, there's a valley of shadow of death there. Now, there's a spiritual meaning too, but also a lot, as Jesus taught, he said, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed and you say to this mountain, he was physically pointing to a mountain there in Israel. And see, we use natural things, and Jesus did that to show a spiritual truth. Everything that, is there not a cause? Everything Jesus did, he did for a purpose. Now, that's not the title of this message, but it is in there. There is a cause. There's cause and effect. What you say is going to cause an effect. Whether it's good or bad, what you're saying, it's going to cause effect. So be swift to hear, the Bible says, and slow to speak.
Amen.
You know, Tammy just had us be still this morning. What's God saying? Sometimes we got to get still before the Lord. Amen. Now, sometimes there's a quick response. In other words, your spirit picks up on it. See, God's always speaking. He's got the wisdom out there, but we're slow. Sometimes we're slow sometimes to pick up on it. Amen. I remember I've talked about Jerry Stutz before because we worked together at Harris Teeter, but when we went into construction, when Hurricane Hugo come through, we was doing some work on the side because my dad was a carpenter, my brother was a carpenter, and by osmosis, I guess I kind of fled it and you came into it a little bit, but yeah, I enjoyed it, roofing and framing. Now, I'm not a skilled carpenter. My brother's more, he had more of the tools. He's more like the finished carpenter, but I didn't want to get into that fine detail, just, you know, put the 2x4 and the 2x6 together, but when it gets into the crown molding and little things that mama, she's going to see, and it's got to have some caulking, I didn't like all that. That's just too much time for me. But Jerry Stutz, we worked together, and when we did some roofing, when Hugo come through, he was just, the Stutzes, they kind of picked up this, they were just prone to do something stupid. I just got to say it that way. When I say, I mean, they're good loving people. I'm just saying they were always trying to either tie your shoes to something. They were always up to something, to make something fun. And that's good. Keep life fun. But Jerry, I mean, he would be the one, when we build houses, he would walk the walls. And I'm down here, I'll give it to you, but I'm not a tightrope walker. I mean, I didn't sign up for this. I was in the grocery store business. So you're going to have to walk up with Jerry, and I'll give you the board because I ain't getting up there and falling. But he did. He'd walk, and he failed sometimes, but he's pretty good at it. But there was one roof we was doing one day. You had to tear it off, pull out all the nails, put plywood back on it, and then put the roof on. It was a tough job. And we're up there, and we're tearing off, and there's a valley. It says, this is coming together, the valley of the shadow of death. There was a valley coming down that met the flat roof on porch. And we got all these nails. You have to sweep off the thing and get all these nails and stuff off. Well, Jerry comes down that valley, and he steps on a nail. I mean, we're talking about probably a 8-penny nail, no, an 1.5-inch roofing nail. So it goes in his foot. Now, we wasn't saved, so he was probably cussing a little bit. He wasn't blaspheming God. But he was cussing because it hurt. He's holding his foot, and he's hopping around. Be still, Jerry. Next thing you know, he steps on another nail because he's hopping around on the porch. I'm like, Stutz, be still. He hits 3 nails before he's like finally just sits down. I'm like, be still. 3 nails. I don't know if it's 1 foot or 2 foot, but hopping around. I'm like, see, I'm watching and I'm learning from this. I ain't going to be me if I, you know. But he survived. We survived that. I think he had to go get a tetanus shot. But that's a valley of the shadow of death. Get out of there. Don't stay there. Yea, though I walk through. But just little stories you like to tell kind of get your heart opened up to hear the word. Amen. But me and him both were not saved. Went in business together. The business really, we didn't have wisdom to really run it. So me and my wife started having babies, and I needed some insurance, self-employment insurance. If you're out there working, it's tough on a self-employed person. So we weighed the odds, and I'm like, I got to get back to work and get some get some benefits. And we had to separate. And after we separated, a couple, 3 years later, we both got saved, got born again. He's in church. I'm in church, pastoring, and he's, you know, he's in the men. They've always were there to help the church, but we wasn't serving God with our heart. But now he is. So it's amazing how God works things together. But today, the message is coming out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. David said, "Is there not a cause?" God says, today, if you will hear his voice, today. Now, tomorrow, when it gets here, is going to be what?
Today.
So every day, we have an opportunity to hear God's voice. Amen. Now, there was a song, there was what was opened up in Scripture this morning. There's a stranger's voice. There's different voices out there. Mm-hmm. To know the shepherd's voice, the true shepherd, Jesus said, I am that true shepherd, the good shepherd. There's a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And there's shepherds out there that say they're good, but they ain't good.
That's right.
They're out there for your money. And they're out there not to build the kingdom, but to tear the kingdom down, to build their kingdom, I would say. And to know if they're truly from God, you've got to know the word.
Amen.
You got to know the word. See, I'm here to give you the word, to feed you the word, but you need to go home and take the evening time, morning time, supper time, evening time. You got to feed on the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, and sometimes, like I say, I'm going to miss it up here. I'm going to say something so fast because in my emotions, I think I said last Sunday, my wife corrected me, so I need to correct it. I haven't done the CD yet online, but Jesus's picture is not on the money. I was talking about last Sunday about God says whatever. Jesus said, give to God what's God and give to Caesar's what's Caesar. Well, Jesus's money, his picture is not on the money, but our money we put in God we trust. And see, you kind of get carried away in your emotions and the anointing. And I think Sherry said, I said something about God's picture being on the coin. Well, it's not. Caesar's picture was on that coin. And see, Caesar cared more about the people and their money than they did the people. But God cares more about the people. So Jesus said, give to God what's God's. That's everything. Give him your everything. And give to Caesar's. All he's after before is your money. Give him the tax due. But if you're serving God, that tax is coming back to you. Look at David. He didn't have to pay taxes. He beat that old giant. Tax-free, buddy. Amen. One day we're going to be tax-free. It's going to take us have to get out of this earth before we get there. But God will make your taxes work for you.
Yes.
He'll make the government work for you.
Yes.
We the people.
Yes.
See, the government is not supposed to be working against us. We are we're their boss. They just don't know it yet. They need to be. Now, there's some up there that's good. But see, when we vote, we the people, we don't want you there no more.
Yes.
God says it's time for somebody else to come up and for you to go down. Amen. If you want to go up, do what God. If Christians the majority, we're going to get the majority vote. We're going to have God in office. Amen.
Yes.
Getting back into schools. Now, your kids are saved. Got Jesus. When they go to school, God's still in school. God's everywhere.
Yes.
We just take his priorities out. You know, don't give him the honor and the worship that we used to, but he's still there.
Yes.
Amen. He ain't left. He's the creator, right? Today, if you'll hear his voice, I know you will. Hebrews 3, verses 1. Well, actually, Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to get on this chariot, and we're just going to ride a little bit. I'm just trusting the Lord, because I got a lot in my heart. But verses, what was in my heart specifically was verses 7 and 9. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, you know, it matters what God says about you, and about everything. As the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the key. Pride, rebellion, to hear God's voice. And I did it for many years when God would put people across my path, Christian brothers and sisters, to tell me, you know, smoking is not good for you. Now, and you got to take this. A lot of times you don't need to get on that part of it. You just need to show them Jesus because, in other words, they loved me and they knew what I was doing was going to harm my body. So sometimes they witnessed to where it ran me more from God than to the Word. Because you don't need to pick and choose all their sins. You just need to show them how much Jesus loves me and how much he loves you. Jesus will take care of all that stuff. Like Jack said, he'll take that stuff from you. So you don't need to tell everybody all the wrong stuff they're doing. You just need to show them how much God has done for you, how much God loves them. That's the gospel. Pray for them, even though they might be smoking a cigar. They might be drinking a drink, might have a glass of Jack Daniels in the hand, and God sends them. They need their sickness in their body. Pray for them. Show them the love of God. Amen. That's what they need. They need to know that they are loved.
Yes, that's right.
The guy and the woman in prison need to know that God still loves them. You can be free in prison.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I was in prison. Till Jesus set me free. It wasn't physical jail. It wasn't physical bars, but it was... I was separated from God, like Jack said, without hope in the world. Didn't know where I was going. I wanted to go to heaven, but I just didn't understand all the ways to get there or how to make the connections. But if you keep seeking, God will. He's always putting people across your path. But if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, don't reject it, but believe the truth, it'll change your life. And God just needs a crack. Amen. He's knocking. He just... Kelsey can tell you this morning, don't leave the crack door open if you got a dog that likes to get out or a cat that likes to get out. Because it was early and brisk this morning. I had my clothes on and Kelsey was getting up. You know, she had her sleeping clothes on, which is pajamas. And we got a dog. If you give him a crack in the door, and I went outside to do something and I cracked the door and I came back in and then I went to go back out and it was open and I'm looking for the dog. And I'm like, Kelsey, I think he's out. Sure enough, that dog got out. Just give him a crack. See, if you just give Jesus a crack, he wants to get you out into some good old fresh air. Man, get you out of that prison, get out of that darkness, and come to light, come to life. Well, he used to be a pup. He'd go run everywhere, but he didn't run far. He's out there sniffing, and Kelsey was able to get out there and be nice. See, I went inside because he knows me. He'll run for me because he knows I'm after him. But Kelsey's sweet to him and trained him and give him treats. I don't give him treats all the time. If you do what I tell you, I'll give you a treat. I'm good to the dog. I mean, he's just a dog, right? I mean, I had cats and dogs, and I loved them when I was little. When you get older, it's kind of like when you got kids and you got other things. I just not loving him like I used to love him. I didn't have nobody else to love. I love Jesus. I like that dog. I love Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Don't love your dog more than you love Jesus, or your cat, or your guinea pig, whatever it may be. I like pizza. I don't love pizza anymore. I love God. There's a big difference between loving. Amen. There's people that grieve over pets. I'm serious now that go too far. And you got to have your faith in God. Now, when you get to heaven, there's going to be animals. There's going to be all kinds of things up there. So don't think you've lost anything. You're going to gain. Man, you get Jesus, you gain everything. You gain everything. Now, down here, they're in a cursed earth. They're in a world that's dying. It's decaying. We just got to be honest because of sin. But this ain't our resting place.
Yes.
This is our testing place. Amen. We're being tested on every side, not by God, but from the devil because of sin, and who did that? Adam and Eve.
Yes.
They made the choice, Jack. Like Jack said, it was their choice to, that's not God's voice. If you hear my voice, there was another voice speaking in the garden. And the devil put some sugar and honey on it, made it real sweet, didn't he? That deception. The Bible says sin is pleasure before a season. We're just changing seasons out here. Colette says she's doing a lot of sweeping. Season's good, but them leaves start falling. You got to sweep them off the front porch out there. Some things are good with seasons changing. Some things are not. But sin is not good in any season. Amen. Because there's coming a payday. It's called help us. Death. The wages of sin is death. Now, I'm not talking just about physical death. I'm talking about it leads to all kind of problems in our life. Amen. Depression, sickness. See, Jack talked about that alcoholism is not a disease. But if you stay in it long enough, that chemical will kill your body. But Jack said you can get free from that. And then the effects of Jesus will take care of the healing. The Word of God will make dead things come alive.
Amen.
Amen. That's what's going to happen to our bodies one day. So today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation. And if you haven't been tempted, something wrong with you. Because Jesus was tempted in all points, but without sin. Temptation is coming. Temptation is not a sin for you to be tempted. Amen. Sin is when you conceive to it, you harden your heart to what God said and you go for that. Then that becomes sin. But still, you got a choice here. You can get rid of it. You can confess it and get out your garden, right? You don't want the fruit of it. You don't want that death. So, harden not your heart in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Take off E-R-N-E-S-S in the wild. Remember those things I used to hear as growing up? Well, you know, boys, we need to sow our wild oats before we get married. That's not a word from God. And I'm not going to go into detail what that means, but you as adults, you know what I mean. God's got one person for you for eternity, picked out before you were even born. Amen?
Amen.
One mate, one helpmate. You ain't got to go looking. You ain't got to go looking for love in all the wrong places. Look for Jesus, and He'll put you in the right place. That's an old song, or somebody knows it. I ain't going to sing it for you. See, I changed it. God changed it. Go to the right place where love is. Church is a good place where love is, right? This is a loving church. Jesus is the head of the church. It's going to be love there. Does that mean am I always going to say things right? No, I'm going to mess up. But we love you. We'll go ahead and say that in advance. That's saying it by faith. We love you. Amen. But harden not your hearts when the temptation comes in the wilderness. When your fathers, this is God speaking now, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years, they hardened their heart. Harden the heart for 40 years, that's a long time. That's a long time. Jesus took 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil that added up to God. One day is a 1,000 years. For 40 years, Jesus took 40 days and took every temptation so that we could be free. Man, we ain't got to stay out there in that old stinking wilderness looking for the promised land. Amen? We can get there by faith. So chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. High priest. Consider. That means consider means to ponder. Make him big in your life. Consider Jesus today if you hear his voice. Make him big in your life. Make his word big. Consider him who was faithful. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy. Jesus is worthy. He was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. This is a contrast. If you'll hear him today, hear his voice. Jesus is the creator. Moses wasn't a creator. He was just the voice of the creator. He was God to the people. But Jesus is God to his people. If you hear his voice, Jesus is for you. He came and took every sickness, every curse, the cause. Jesus says, is there not a cause for which purpose which I came? And he came to people. He came to those and bled and died for them and cried for them and prayed for them, and they rejected him. But Jesus endured that cross, despising the shame, because he saw us sitting here today wanting to know him more and more, wanting to hear his voice. And Jesus said, for them, it's worthy that I'll take this cup, Father. Because Jesus didn't want that cup. He said, if there's any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will of the flesh, but your will be done. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. And he received that cup of wrath and indignation from the Father. But see, that's pure love. It takes the form of discipline. And God the Father, in his pureness and holiness, had to let his Son be killed to take the wages of our sin, which was death, sickness, disease, poverty. Everything cursed that was in this earth that was spoken in Deuteronomy came into the Lord's body. Is there not a cause? That's the cause that he came to take everything that was against you away from you, so you could stand righteous and holy before the God the Father, completely washed of every sin and every thought of sin. Amen. For every house, verse 4, for every house is built by someone. Somebody built your house. Amen. But he who built all things, help me, is God. He's built. Jesus came to build a kingdom. And I heard some people talk about this is what we're here for, is to build the kingdom. This morning, amen? And it takes every one of us to get it done. To get it done the way God needs it done. Amen? Each one of us have different gifts that God will call and bring in. But will they hear his voice? There's some here that haven't heard. They've heard his voice, but they decided, no, this wasn't the place for me. Concord wasn't the place for me. Word of Faith wasn't the place. And it's just not this place. There's many churches around that are people are missing. God's looking for them, and where did they go? I sent them. I didn't tell them to leave. But they chose, Jack. This ain't the place for me. Now God's got to raise up a king. He's got to raise up David. Saul disobeyed the Lord. Saul didn't wait on Samuel. Samuel's supposed to be the high priest. Saul, I can handle this. I can do this offering. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't do it all, folks. I'm the pastor, but I need help. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. You don't want burnout. Amen. You need some help, you call. Cindy, you need some help with the books, you call. I'll send Sherry because I ain't going to help you on the books. You know what I'm saying? If you need some help, call. Don't think you got to run this race on your own. God's grace. And he's got different people to help us. Amen. If we'll hear his voice, harden not our hearts, as in the day. For every house is built by someone, but all things are built by God. I had a 1967 GTO. Used. I bought it for $1,000 when I was 14 years old. I had a car when I was 14, but I was paying for it. Paying mama. Working in the chicken house. Mowing yards. Paying off that payment. See, mama was just a single mom. But I wanted a car because I wanted to date. I liked girls. Girls like cars and radios. I just didn't tell them mine didn't have no heat. You just don't take them out on a date when it's cold. Amen. Go when the sun's out. Because my heat was it had a 4-speed on the floor and I had a broke motor mount. So every time, guys, you'll understand this. When I gave it the gas and went to shift from second to third, the shifter moved, the transmission moved. Because my motor mount was broke, but I couldn't afford to get that fixed. You got two motor mounts and one was still hooked. Amen. You get the other broke, now you're on your own. That's in the past. But when I would shift, it was okay. But see, then my heat, when it got cold, I had to pull my shifter boot up and let the heat, once it got warmed up, the heat from the clutch and the transmission and the motor would come into the cab. Praise God. I mean, as a kid, some of those options you just had to do away with. I wish I'd never sold that car. Amen. But I got one that had heat and it changed my mind. Once I got my girl, I said, okay, thank you, car, for helping me there. I don't know if the car had anything to do with it, but you know what I like? I like that car. Where was I going with that? God built everything. Man, somebody, God blessed somebody to design that 1967 GTO. It stood for gas, tires, and oil, because it sucked it out. But it actually, our Suburban's got the little hood, the little vent, the little thing, little riser on the front. Yeah. Every time I drive it, the Suburban has two of them. I think about that GTO because I had that little rise. But God was good. But, you know, God said he'll bless the work of your hands. And, man, I wanted that car, but I know Mama couldn't. Mama's always forking out. She's paying for my food, my clothes. And I don't see her because she's working all the time. So I said, I can work. And I saw that cash, boy. We lived in the trailer park, and those yards had to be mowed. And I met the landlord. Mom had to pay him every month. And I seen him. He was an older man, had a hat that I wear now, one of those little hats. I'm like, man, I'll never wear a hat like that. I'm wearing that hat now. That's why Dallas says, Dad, why are you wearing that hat? Well, it looks good on me now. But he'd open up that billfold, boy. I tell you what, it had cash, man. He paid us cash. That billfold was thick with money. I saw it, man. I said, man, I'd like to have me some of that. We'll mow these yards for you. He paid his cash, and I paid Mama cash. Amen. Got that car paid for. And she signed that note, and that got me some credit. Now I can do something. So verse 5, Moses indeed was faithful in all his house that God called him to do as a servant. for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. We're still speaking about things that Moses did, because he was faithful in all his house. What God called him to do, he was faithful. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, amen? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, don't get in fear like, man, I hope I don't never denounce Jesus. This is saying that our salvation has been paid for. Once you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit seals you with that promise, a guarantee that you're into the family. Man, you're in the king's house, palace. But you got to hold fast that confidence till the end. In other words, you could get to the point, and it would take somebody, a mature Christian, to kind of know who they are, what they have. You could renounce that faith. That's still your choice, to live with God forever before Jesus comes back the second time. But I ain't one of them people. I don't even want to go down that road. But there's people out there that the devil deceives and give them into deception. They take grace to an extreme. I'm saved now. I can do anything. I can sin because God loves me. No, that's error. Amen. You can get off and get out there and say, well, I can do anything now because the blood of Jesus. No. God forbid, Paul said. You don't have an understanding of grace. But then you can get some people to say, well, you know, if God saves me, he'll save me. Some people think that you can't be saved unless God says you're going to be saved. Jesus came to save all mankind. God never intended us to be dead, separated to begin with. You can take it all the way back to the garden. His choice was for us to live, never be separated.
That's right.
But because of sin, God said, now I set before you life and death. He could have, the devil, he could have wiped us all out, started over. But that's not God. He had a plan, and he never changed. He loved us, and he said, I'll die for you. See, people forget that they won't blame God, but God, he became the substitute. He became death for us. It took a while. It took some years to get the plan, but he stepped in where Adam stepped out. God stepped in. Jesus stepped in. Amen. And Jesus ain't never coming out of the covenant. See, that's a covenant. He can't. Jesus can't lie. When he died, he said, I'm in with you. If you in me and I in you and the Father's in you, we're going to be together. But you can choose to walk out of it and put the blood of Jesus under your foot, and there'll never be salvation for you again. But that would take somebody totally messed up. But the devil could do that. If God puts you across somebody's path before they get, if they're seeking God, they haven't come to that point yet. I don't want you to study on that. I want you to know, hear God's voice. Amen.
Amen.
Hear his voice. Be faithful. Verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I would be too if my child for 40 years didn't listen to my good words and decided to rebel. I'd be angry. Amen. Because I love them and I want them to have the best, and they don't want it. That's why God's angry. I'm giving you all this. It's good. What are you doing? He was angry. Harden their hearts. Man. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. The Bible talks about how that people, they might talk a good talk, but the Bible says, God says, their heart's far from me. Amen. Their lips speak good things, but their heart is far from me. And they have not known my ways. So God said, I swore in my wrath, in that anger, in that wrath, he swore, they shall not enter my rest. Why are Christians, why is the world out in the situations they have rejected his voice? It's not God's fault. Like Jack said, like we all make mistakes, it's not God. It's not him. It's a knowledge problem. Amen? I've been at the wrong, you know, Lynn Mink on that DVD, and the DVDs are ready. If you need a DVD of that service, they're at the sound booth this evening, this morning. But first thing he started out on that service was talking about being this faithful, if being at the right place at the right time. That's where your miracles are. Amen? Where you're hearing God's voice and making the choice by faith and things change. Amen? For the good. See, God wants things to change for the good. But you got to believe that word, that he's good. He's for you. Amen? Because he can't lie. And if you think he's bad, that's your choice of him. And he's not going to change that. But he's not going to agree with it either. Amen? I mean, if you got a wrong understanding of him, he's not going to agree with you. But if you get in agreement with his word and his spirit, miracles will happen in our lives. Amen? It's happening in mine. And it's every day. His mercies are new. Every day, new mercies. You know, women, y'all probably like to wear new jewelry every day if you're a jewelry wearer. Do you wear the same necklace every day if you got all kind of necklaces? Wear something different. Man, God wants us to see something new and good, different about him every day. Amen. We got to quit. Don't focus on all the bad things that's happening in our lives. Get you to another rock and knock you out another giant. See, one giant goes down. David had five stones. It didn't take but one. But then he had four more stones. There's more giants on the way. Amen. Four brothers. Amen.
Amen.
So don't you come to a gunfight with a sword. Man, you come to that fight with the word of God.
Amen.
Don't put your Bible underneath your pillow at night and say, I'm sleeping on the word. No, you put that word in your heart. Because that Bible under your pillow doesn't scare the devil. It's when you wake up in the middle of the night, stata, komba, sete, kelo, sete, speaking in tongues, telling the devil what he ain't going to do. That's what scares the devil. It's the Holy Ghost said through you. That's what speaking in tongues. That's what building yourself up in your most holy faith. When your body goes to sleep, your spirit is alive.
Yes.
Your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit man. It's your soul man that goes to sleep. Your soul man's got to sleep. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, they got to sleep. They got to rest. That's where we're getting there. We're closing right here. 11, I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Hey guys, this is a good thing. That's for the ones that were disobedient.
Amen.
They're not resting. The weary, the wicked, they never rest. They can't sleep at night because all these things they've done, the devil is eating them up. See, they don't have peace. And I'm going to close with this. You know, this is October. October 31st is coming. Trick or treat, Halloween, all this stuff. But guess what? We don't glorify darkness. We glorify God.
Amen.
And I want to leave you with this little nugget I shared Wednesday night. This should be a witness to somebody out there that do this in love. Because churches have what they call that fall festivals. Nothing wrong with that. They give kids candy. We're worshiping God here. Turn it around. Worship God. We don't take from the world and do it. We just worship God. But one of the biggest things you see out here, and I even see it on social media when a loved one passes away or maybe a famous Hollywood or just a famous person, rest in peace, R.I.P., R.I.P. A lot of times you see it, all these terror, mazes of terror and all this stuff. They'll have a gravestone out there and I have a rest in peace. You'll see it in somebody's yard, rest in peace. Well, guess what? I ain't waiting till I die to rest in peace.
No, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to live now.
Amen.
And then when I die, I'm not going to rest. Amen. I'm going to get up. I'm going to heaven and I'm going to be praising and worship. That ain't a time to rest.
Yes.
That's the time to rejoice.
Yes.
So the Lord said, here's a good one for you. Rest in peace. Man, don't wait till you die. Because to a Christian, there is no death. Death used to have power over me, but not anymore.
Amen.
So the rest that I do is resting in the Lord.
Yes.
Now we do that here when we hear his voice and harden not our hearts and give heed to him, we can rest. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my everything. Amen.
Amen.
Is there not a cause? There's the cause to come to church. Not because the pastor said, come. Amen. Don't come because I'm telling you come. Come because Jesus is here and he's got something for you.
Amen.
And I believe every Sunday we put that purpose in mind. There'll always be more that he'll add to it when we get here. Because see, you're bringing in hope. You're bringing in a gift.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just be still again. Like Tammy said, led us this morning. He's got something for you today. Receive it. I know you've heard his voice today. You might not be sure of what he's caused you to do, but be sure, be assured that he has called you. Everyone that has came to Jesus, he's got a purpose for you. You come to this church, we'll help you figure out what that purpose is, but it's got to come from Jesus, and I believe he'll use me, he'll use the worship team, he'll use every gift in this church. But you, when you come here believing and expecting. And I'll tell you the best way to find out what your purpose is help somebody else find out what their purpose is. Because that's called fellowship. And if you can get out of you and get into somebody else, God will get right in that stuff. And you helping somebody else, you come out of your situation. You'll come out of that valley of the shadow of death because you see something bigger than you. Amen. What God's called me to do, take the Word of God to the world that's bigger than me. And I'm believing God to bring gifts and talents and abilities in here that you'll have a plan. You'll say, Pastor, here, what about this? Think we can maybe do this? See, I need input. Input. I don't know if y'all remember that old movie, that robot years ago. It's called
Short Circuit.
He was like, input. See, he was a baby computer, but he started watching TV and Three Stooges. Man, he was just sucking in all that input. Next thing you knew, he had some knowledge. Input. But knowledge is not everything you need. Because the Bible says in the end days, all this knowledge puffs up, but it's the Spirit working with all that knowledge, knowing Jesus, know the truth, and you'll be free. It's the Spirit that sets you free. Because you have that knowledge, and then the Spirit will say, okay, act on that right there, right now. Act on that right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now, Lord. There's a lot of causes in out here. A lot of purposes out here, Father. And we just thank you right now. We've heard from you, Lord. We have chosen to hear from you, hear from your Holy Spirit, from the Word today, Father. And we thank you right now, Lord, for every work that you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord. We had the provision to do it. We had the blessing of the Lord that will cause us and anoint us and give us the power to do it. And we just thank you for that. And we just rest in that right now, Lord. We're resting in your promises. Resting in your promises. And that's where our peace is. Our peace is in you. In your Son, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And Father, I just thank you right now, Lord. You help us. Help us. You develop us and help us to fulfill your will here on this earth. And to help somebody else out, Father. And we give you the praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.